chapter number 15. And how many of you believe that the Bible is God's instruction book for us? Amen. How many of you believe that the Bible was given to us to teach us how we ought to live our life? I believe that. Amen. I believe the Bible has all the answers in it for all my problems, all my situations. I believe that there is nothing in life that cannot come up that the Bible cannot instruct me in. Say amen. So anyway, take your Bibles, and now that you agree with me in the fact that the Bible is our instruction book, then I guess you would also agree with me that we ought to obey the Bible. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to obey the Bible. Amen. That's a good thing. Luke chapter number 15, just read along silently as I read here. I'm going to read, and you just read along silently. The Bible says in verse number 1, then drew near unto... Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be in your house tonight. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, help us for the next few minutes. We open up the Word of God. Lord, that it would not be what Cedric has to say tonight, but Lord, I pray me as a vessel tonight. I give my... Lord, these dear people have given all of them to come to the house of God. And Lord, they don't need to hear from me, God, what they need to hear. Lord, I pray that you would speak to my heart. Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. God, I pray that you'd speak to every heart in this building. Lord, you'd help us tonight, all of us, to walk out of this door. And Lord, to be a better Christian tomorrow than we... Luke chapter number 15, the Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Here's what you've got. You've got the non-religious crowd. They've heard about Jesus. So the non-religious crowd is trying to get to Jesus until verse number 2. And the publicans and scribes murmured. Y'all, I cannot read tonight. Let's start verse 2 over again. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying,
well, this man was seen eating with them. And I don't think, and I never believe, and I don't think, and did you see it? I don't believe, and
now, is that not what the Bible said? You've got the unsaved, the non-religious crowd, the non-religious crowd trying to get to Jesus until the religious crowd comes along. I know they don't go to your church, but we've met them in many churches before. You know the ones,
well, I've been a deacon in this here church for 185 years. And preacher, we ain't never did it like that before.
Amen? Or you know, well, I've been teaching Sunday school here for 220 years. You know the ones that when Jesus gets in a fix and he don't know what to do, he always calls them and asks them what should they do because they know everything. They know better than Jesus how to take care of the situation. Have you ever met anybody like that? I see a lot of heads nodding, amen. They know more than Jesus does. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They had a problem with what Jesus was doing. Now, how did Jesus respond, you ask? I'm glad you ask. Let's read on down and see what happens. Verse number 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, verse number 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, because I'm a little different kind of a guy, if you've been around me for any length of time, you've learned that I'm a little different. So like the preachers learned today, I'm a little different. So tonight's message is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to talk back to me. Does anybody here live on a farm? Anybody at all? Do we have any farms in Erie, Pennsylvania? All right, do we have nobody with any goats, hogs, horses, cows, chickens, anything like that? All right, how many of y'all have dogs or cats at home? What do you have, buddy? You've got a cat. What do y'all have over here? You have two dogs. What do you have, sir? A dog and a cat. Y'all got something? Oh, dear. Let's stop and pray for this family right now. Amen. They've got five cats. Say amen. Now, usually there's a cat lady in every church, but y'all don't have a cat lady. You got a church. You got a cat family. Say amen. What happens when one of your pets gets out? What do? If one of your dogs or your cat or one of your cats, well, if one of your cats get out, you lock the door and hope they don't come back. Say amen. But what do? If you've got a pet that you love and that pet gets out of your house, what do? Somebody tell me. You go after it. You go find it. You know, you'll look around the yard. If you don't find it in the yard, you know what you'll find yourself doing? You'll find yourself walking through the streets in the neighborhood, looking around. You know what you might do also? Have you seen my little dog? Have you seen my little puppy? Why is it that we're not afraid to knock on doors when we have a lost pet? See, it's not that we're afraid to knock on doors, but what is it that we're knocking on doors over sometimes can dictate whether or not we feel comfortable knocking on a door. If it's something we really love and something we're really looking for, then we're not afraid to knock on a door. Say amen. Now, I want to ask you this, preacher. This church has been here how long? 35 years. How many of y'all have been in this church for more than 30 years? Raise your hand. Anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. Now, y'all will have to raise your hand again. How many of you have been in this church for more than years? More than 10 years? Raise your hand. If you've been in this church more than 10 years, okay? How about more than 2 years? Any of y'all been in church more than 2 years? Raise your hand. All right, now here I have a question for you. During the time that you've been a member of Grace of Calvary Baptist Church, have there been some church members that have gotten out? Oh, they still live in town, but they're not going to church anywhere. Have there been some members of this body, some sheep that have walked out of these doors at some point? They've walked outside, got in their car, drove off the property, and we've not seen them. Now, when I said that, there was probably on most of your minds a face that went across your mind or a name that went across your mind. You know what? I would venture to say that even since last Sunday morning, we've had some. Amen? I'm sure you probably had more than this here on last Sunday morning. So where are they? Do y'all ever see this around Erie? Now, I don't know if they do it here, but a lot of places that we travel, if somebody's little dog or puppy gets out, you know what they'll do? They'll take a picture of it. They'll go down to Kinko's or Office Depot or somewhere like that, and they'll run off 200 copies, and they'll put a sign up, you know, and they'll put it all over town that says something like this, lost puppy. Do they do that here? They'll put it on signpost, or they'll put it in the Walmart a parking lot, or they'll put it on the door at the convenience store. They'll put it at Starbucks. They'll put it on the back of stop signs. They'll put it on telephone poles. They'll put it on red light poles. They'll tape it up wherever they can. It says, lost puppy. See my puppy? Isn't he cute? See my puppy? If found, call Cedric and give my cell phone number. Because I care about and I'm looking for that which I love. Looking for that which got lost. Looking for that which has gotten out. Looking for the puppy that I've lost. How funny would it be if we got the latest picture of our church member that got out. And we come down here to the church and we made 200 copies. And we put 200 copies all over Erie. Lost church member, if found, please call pastor and put the pastor's cell phone number. Amen? Now, I am not suggesting that you do that. However, if you did, it would be pretty funny. Say amen. Just don't say Cedric said it. Say amen. But why is it, folks, that we care more about our pets than we do our brothers and sisters? Why is it that we'll knock on doors, we'll talk to people, we'll look for that which we love, but when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, many, they go uncared. You know what I say tonight? I say tonight that we just begin having compassion on people. Read there with me in Luke chapter number 15. It says verse number 5. And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Now, I don't suggest that you knock on their door. They come to the door, you reach in and grab them and throw it over your shoulders. Say amen. However, that might be funny too, Brother Rick. Amen. But don't say Cedric said that, amen? But what I'm saying here is simply this. We ought to have a Christ love and for those that have wandered astray. You know what? I would certainly hope that when the day comes that I've passed off the scene and my son is in a local church somewhere, that if he ever gets out of the house, and you know, things happen. Sometimes we don't even know that we upset. Sometimes something was said and it got taken out of context, or they didn't understand the tone of which we actually meant it. And sometimes people walk out and they don't ever come back. I would hope that if my son, that ever happened to him, I'd hope that there would be somebody that would care. And you know what? If it's your son, your grandchild, your family member, you would certainly want somebody to love them enough to go knock on their door. We just need to have a Christ-like shepherd compassion for. Go with me now down to verse number 8. Back up to verse number 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Hey, listen, I'm one of the 9, and so are you. But you know what the Bible shows me there? I believe with all my heart the shepherd loves the 9, but he was willing to leave the 9 and go find the one that tells me that the one that got away might be a little more important, might need a little more attention than we need. And folks, we just need to love on people. I encourage you tonight on your way home, you may have their cell phone number. Why don't you just call them on the cell phone and say, just want you to know I was thinking about you in church. Love to see you. Or what if we drove by their house and knocked on the door, and just when they come to the door say, hey, you know, I was thinking about you in church. I've been missing church, and I want you that we at the church, we love you. We would love to see you. We'd love to see you. Just love on people. Say, verse number 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one that repenteth. Now again, I want you to talk to me. There was this woman, she had something that was of great value. She had some silver. Something that no doubt was very precious, but it was lost. What is the first, somebody raise, verse number 8, look at it now, what's the first thing? She lit a candle. Here's my candle. She lit her candle. No doubt it was dark in those days in the house, no electricity, say amen. So she lit her candle. And she began to look around behind things. She would light up those dark corners. She would shine her light in the dark places. Say amen. She was looking around. She would look behind things where it was dark, where there was no light. She was looking for that which is precious. She was looking for that which was of value. And she was shining her light around, looking behind things, looking all around. She was hunting for that which was lost. If you've been in church any time at all, you know where this is going. Over there in the book of Matthew, the Bible teaches us that we are to light our candle. Amen? A city that is, a light that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We ought to be a group of people that light our candle. And you know what our problem is? We sometimes get going through daily life and we forget to light our gospel candle. We get busy going to work, doing this, running the kids here, taking the kids there, buying groceries, going here, going there, making sure we've got everything taken care of at the house. And many times we'll run in and out of a store, we'll run in and out of a restaurant, and we forget to light our gospel candle. You know what's wrong with America today is we're not keeping our gospel candle lit. That's the problem with America today. The reason they're trying to shut us up is because we've stayed silent way too long. What we as Christians need to do and we as Americans need to do is we need to light our gospel candle and we need to take back over America. Say, what's the second thing that she done? Said that she lit her candle and what? She swept the house. When you sweep, we normally would start at the furthest point away and we would sweep all the way through the house and do a clean sweep. If you have children, we all know you give them a broom and they lose all sense of common sense whatsoever. Say amen. They'll sweep a little bit here, and then they'll sweep a little bit here, then they'll sweep a little over here, and a little here. They're just moving dirt around. They ain't making no headway. But when we sweep, we want to do a clean. We want to get everything as we go. You know what I say? We ought to light our gospel candle, and we ought to go sweeping around our neighborhood. We ought to go sweeping around our family. We ought to go sweeping around our work. Yes, I did go there. What's wrong with taking your Bible back to the workplace and laying it on your desk? I just happen to believe that in the event that because you set your Bible on your desk at work and you were to get fired, I believe that the God you're representing can give you a better job than you had before. That's just kind of how I live by faith. We've got to quit apologizing for loving the Lord. We've just got to get back to doing what we know to do. So she swept the house. And then the last thing it said that she done was she sought diligently until she found it. She did not give up. The problem with us in the world today is we let the first time somebody comes along and embarrasses us or says no or slams a door in our face or anything like that, we get embarrassed and we don't want it. We just stop doing what we know to do. I recall a time we were down in Louisiana, and Titus and I were out in the neighborhood. We were knocking on doors, and the other guy that was with us, he was over on another street by himself knocking on the street behind us. Me and Titus, we was knocking on doors. We knocked on this lady's door, and she came to the door, and boy, she just blasted us with both barrels. She let us have it with everything she could come up with. She told us that she had already told us once that morning not to knock on her door, and she didn't want anything that we had, and she didn't want to go to our church, and she had already told us to get off of her porch. And I just stood there and smiled at Titus. I said, "Ma'am, we ain't been to your house today. Matter of fact, I've never been to your neighborhood before. Get off my porch." She just let me have it. She was yelling and screaming so loud that on the street over, our friend heard her. She was just letting us have it. I just patted Titus. I said, "Buddy, she's crazy. Let's go." Amen. And you know what? You just go knock on the next door. You just go tell somebody else. Say amen. You know what I like to do? I like to do this. I like to go to Walmart. How many of y'all like Walmart? Y'all have Walmarts here? Amen. Y'all like Target? Where do you like? Where do you like to shop? She like no to Walmart? Oh, no Walmart. No Target. Girl, I'm with you. Give me five. Amen. I'm with you. Target's too high priced. I like them Walmart prices. They roll them back all the time. Say amen. Hey, even when the sun's shining on a bald head like mine, or it's raining or snowing outside, you know what you can do? You can go to Walmart, get you one of them buggies, put you some canned green beans or put you some cereal in there, put you something down, have you a handful of or a pocket full of gospel tracts. You can just walk up and down the aisle pushing your buggy and they'll come to you. Say amen. They'll come right to you. And when they come, you say, "Hey, can I give you this and invite you over to church and tell you that, sir, you can take that. You need it. Amen. We need to see you at church." Say amen. You know, you can go over there to the bread aisle. What kind of bread do you like? You don't eat bread. You're a good girl. Okay, she's at the toothpaste aisle, amen? Don't tell me you don't like toothpaste. Sensitive. What kind of toothpaste? What's the name? Sensodyne. Sensodyne. She's there looking at the Sensodyne. You can walk up to her at the toothpaste aisle, and she's reaching up, grabbing it, and say, "Hey, does that Sensodyne, does it whiten pretty?" And they'll usually say, "Well, it does all right," and say, "I found something that whitens better than Sensodyne." Give them a gospel tract and say, "Jesus Christ can wash all your sins whiter than snow." Give her a gospel tract. Invite her to Jesus. Amen. Invite her to church. Tell her about the Lord. You can walk back over here to the bread aisle. Amen. He's in the bread aisle. What kind of bread y'all eat? Sourdough. Sourdough bread made by maybe Nature's Own or something like that. Or fresh made. You can ask him, say, "Hey," he's standing there. He's getting him some bread. Say, "Hey, does that bread, is it pretty good?" And he'll say, "Man, I love it." You know what you can say? Say, "I found a bread that's better than that sourdough bread." And every time they'll say, "Really? What kind is it?" Well, then you have to tell them. Amen. They're asking you, what kind of bread is better than sourdough? You have an obligation to tell them about the bread of life. Say amen. They asked you. Say amen. I like this one. Name tags. Name tags. Find somebody in the store at a restaurant or something like that. Their name is Adam. Or they're at the checkout. Name is Adam. Say, "Where'd you get your name from, buddy?" And they'll say, "Well, it was my great-grandpa's." And, "Oh, no, buddy, it goes back way further than that." Let me tell you about, have you ever heard of Adam and Eve? And you can take a gospel tract and tell them about Jesus. I've already told you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Not long ago, we were in Phoenix, Arizona. We were sitting in a restaurant, and I had a question about something on me. So they called for the man. He walked up, and he had his name tag on. I said, "Jesus, how you doing?" His name was Jesus right there on his name tag. I'm like, "Jesus, how you doing?" He goes, "It's Jesus." I'm like, "I know that. But do you know where Jesus came? You know where you got your name from?" The manager of the restaurant sat down in the chair next about his name. Nobody had ever told him about. And he had Jesus. Folks, here's the deal. We've just got to get back to doing what we know. And that's something I need reminded of all the time. I love preaching this message because you know what it does? It makes. And you know what? I'm preaching it in front of my son. And it makes me be accountable. Now here's my challenge to you. I love out there in the foyer. First thing my son noticed when we come in this church, the track rack. First thing he knows, "Daddy, look. Let's get excited about passing. Let's keep the printers hopping all the time. Let's keep them printers rolling all the time because we're giving them tracks out." I've got written down in my Bible, you tell somebody how to get to heaven, we'll tell somebody how to get. Tanya's going to come to the piano, and here's my challenge. What if every person in this building, I mean every person in, what if you made your way in a few minutes when I ask you to or say it's that time, if we just made our way to an old-fashioned altar. And I believe there's something about moving to an altar. I'm not saying you can't pray at your seat, but I believe there's something happens in make our way to the altar. But what if we made our way to the altar tonight and we just got on our face before the Lord and we simply said this, "You know, God, I've kind of gotten away from passing out tracts. Lord, I don't have all the answers, but if you will put somebody in front of me this week, I'll." And you just simply said, "Lord, if you will put them in front of me, I'll tell them." Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be sitting at home. Somebody's going to knock on your door. They're going to be two streets over looking for your address on two streets over, and they're going to be your person. But you got to be ready. Here's something else that'll happen. This happened to me not long ago. We were in town. I was in the church van. We love Goodwills. So we went to the Goodwill. And I was getting out of the Goodwill. Getting out of the van at Goodwill. I stepped out of the van. And now when I pulled in the spot, there's nobody there. I stepped out of the van and I slammed the door and I turned a man standing right there at me. And he said, "Can you tell me where..." And I forget what store he was looking for, like an Ace Hardware or something. But he said, "Can you tell me where the Ace Hardware is?" And I was like, "This is mine. This is mine. This is mine." See, here's the deal. Do you think that if you get on your face before God tonight and say, "Lord, will you put somebody in front?" Do you think the Lord's going to look down from heaven and go, "Nope, I'm not going to put anybody in front of you"? So if the problem is not God, who must the problem be? We know what to do. Many times we're not even ashamed to do. We just get busy as we stand. Why don't you make your way to an old-fashioned altar and just say, "Lord, will you use me this week? Lord, will you put somebody in front of me that I can tell about you?" God wants to use us. God wants us to tell others about Him. God wants us to tell people about Him. Just say, "Lord, use me this week." Aren't you glad somebody brought the truth to you? I know it will be bold, but God wants to use us. He doesn't need our ability. He just needs our availability. There are people who are lost. They're hurting. They're searching. They don't even know what they're searching. And God has placed this church to be a lighthouse. I'm glad you've got a pastor. But there's people you can reach that your pastor will need. There's people you can reach your pastor will never talk to. We just need to get busy again telling others about Jesus.
Being forced and full and free, won't somebody tell them of the Christ of Calvary? Their debt is paid already, but the message must be shared. Does anybody care? Cared, and now my soul is free. preacher, but I'm sold.
Reminder, a little. We're going to sing number 600.